You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Well, we do need to get into our biblical worldview question of the week, Nancy, and on the heels of this bitterness that you have, why do I feel guilty after I ask for forgiveness?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, the bottom line is Satan is alive and well, isn't he? And you know, it's not like we don't all sin, because we do, and we'll probably continue to do, hopefully not willful sin, but just because we're humans. And God, because of his unchanging love for us, just does not abandon us when we sin. And that's a beautiful thing with Adam and Eve. He could have, but he didn't. And the same is true with us today. You know, we died and rose again to pay the penalty of our sins. So God's taught us one thing, is that grace forgives. God forgives. And we need to understand that, at least intellectually, lay our emotions aside for a moment and look at the scripture. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And then 1 John 2, if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So I think we need to get the proper perspective of what's happening here. God is defending us before the Father because he died for us. We are righteous. We don't act righteous. But positionally, we are righteous before God because we have no penalty to pay for our sin, which is death. So God gives us that gift of life through his Son. And we just need to make sure we get that when we deal with this guilty stuff we feel after, you know, after we ask forgiveness.
So then that leads to this question, Nancy. Why is it important to understand that being forgiven does not mean that we do automatically have freedom from feeling guilty for what we've done? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I think Satan does some of his finest work, you know, by reminding us who have repented from our sin that we're still guilty. It's that little gnawing thing in our gut, and I know we all have it at times, over and over again. Satan is relentless. Have you ever noticed how patient he is? He never runs out of evil. And he continually, like yesterday, reminds us of stuff we did back when they delivered milk, you know? I mean, he takes us way back, and he reminds us continually of our failures and our faults and our sins. And again, we are emotional creatures. We're relational creatures. And more times than not, sadly, we buy it. But look at Revelation 12:10. Let me read this. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God, of our God, and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser, that's Satan, of our brother has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. So you almost see this drama unfolding of the accusations toward God of us individually, even though we're saved, even though we're protected, even though we're sealed by God as his children, he's still accusing us. And I think he does it because we're dumb enough to believe it, me being one of those, you know. And so again, remembering that God, his Son Jesus, is in heaven, and he is our advocate. He's the one that is for us, as well as the Father is too. But I hope we get this picture in our mind as we tackle this problem.
I know that there are some suggestions I mentioned. I'd love for you help, you know, just help us. How do we leave some guilt at the cross? Because we're not designed to carry this with us. What do you suggest we do?
Yeah, and that's why I like that song so much. And it's all about it. you know, leave it at the cross. Know that Christ has it. And I think for people that have guilt of past sins, you know, sometimes you have to face this stuff head on instead of saying, I confessed it. Okay, fine. Once and for all, confess it. You know, if there's any unconfessed sin in your life, ask God to tell you what it is through your spirit. Just ask him. And if something comes to mind, immediately ask forgiveness, confess it. And then by choice, not by how you feel, know that you are forgiven. And you know, while you're confessing, you might confess your unbelief. And I don't say that sarcastically, well, maybe a little, but, you know, when we're asking God why we feel guilty because we don't think he has really cleansed us from our sins, we need to confess that. Because God is faithful, remember, to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, it's bigger than our mind can understand because we don't forgive like that. So we tend to cling to it. But that's number one, is confess it, confess your unbelief, and then go on. And another suggestion, you know, if the sin committed was against others, you know, the idea of asking forgiveness of God is great. And but there's this repentance thing, and there's this thing about if you've hurt somebody, go to that person and seek to make restitution. If you stole from them or whatever, pay it back. If you hurt their feelings in some way, go admit it to them. I'm so sorry. What can I do, you know, to help you through this? But I just think we need to learn from our mistakes. We need to own them. And when we start owning this stuff and taking it to the cross, you know, we're going to be so much better off. And then I think the third thing is when guilty feelings come up over sins already confessed and forsaken, we just need to begin to see these things as false guilt. And false guilt is out there, especially in the Christian community, where Satan reminds him of something. And I think we go, oh, because I'm remembering that means I'm not forgiven. No, that just means that Satan is knocking on your door again because you always open it. And I think what we need to do is when those lies surface and we begin to entertain them, we entertain them a little bit differently by thanking God for forgiving us of that sin and don't confess it again. And that's a way to turn Satan away when he knocks at your door, making you think that you aren't forgiven, to take that as a signal to just honestly thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of that sin and many others. And I have done that myself. That was a suggestion given to me years ago. And I'm telling you, it works. Because if Satan's knocking at your door, he doesn't want you to use that as a springboard for praising God. And I think Psalm 103 is one of my favorites. It's on this issue. The Lord is merciful and gracious, verse 8 says, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And in other words, what God is saying, they're gone. They're burned up. They're done. And why are you entertaining them as if they are alive? They're dead.
Oh, I know.
When you ask forgiveness, I forget. You know, he doesn't even remember. And as God being God, he chooses to forget. So.
Well, and he uses other people in our lives too to remind us, so that guilt will kick in again. And that is maddening. But we got a couple of minutes left, Nancy. And as we wrap things up, you point out there comes a time after we confess, we repent, we're forgiven. We've got to move on and stop looking back. Talk more about that.
Yes, and a couple things. You just brought up one. people that say evil things and hurtful things to us in our life because they're miserable. They want to bring us down. And I think we need to say enough's enough of this. You can remind me of what you want, but I know God has forgiven me, and I'm not going to entertain that anymore. And I think we need to be blunt with people like that. We all have people in our lives that would like to be there. But I think we need to remember 2 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And, you know, I think a positive takeaway from this, and maybe it's another suggestion, but I think to experience forgiveness, we need to be the ones that are quick to forgive. And by being a forgiver, we solidify our understanding of accepting God's forgiveness. The idea is to extend forgiveness to others with everything in us. And as difficult as it can be, what we are doing by asking forgiveness of people, we are showing obedience and honor to God by doing this. You know, it's being that person who honors God enough not to hang on to their junk or not to be so stubborn and just this superiority that I don't sin, that's you, is ridiculous. And I think Matthew 6:15, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you. Wow, this is serious stuff. And then Ephesians, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. So the idea of forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, and choosing not to bite when Satan attacks. And I think for all of us, at least for me personally, that has worked wonders on this reoccurring guilt over past sins. Satan will back off if you continue to give God the glory for forgiving him.
That is one of the things that we have to remember and acknowledge, is that God invites us to be forgiven. He wants us to be forgiven. He wants a repentant heart. He knows the condition of our heart. But in this invitation, we are foolish if we turn away from it. But so many people, you know, we often do. We get mired down in this unforgiveness of ourself. We become challenged in asking others forgiveness. But the Lord just does not want us to languish in that space. He is seeking after us to come before him. And I just want to encourage every single person that is out there listening right now, that if this is something that you struggle with, ask the Lord to guide you in this. Ask the Spirit to step into your situation and to guide you in your heart as to what you should do, and then quietly listen. That's something we are very poor at doing, huh, Kelly?
Yeah, quietly listening.
Yeah. Quietly listening.
Absolutely.
Well, Nancy, this has been great.
Well, thank you, and for the opportunity of being able to share this. You know, these questions come up. They're real questions because we all deal with this. So I myself decided I'm not going to be that fly trap paper that's real sticky and catches anything.
Yep.
We just need to spray it with a little Teflon or whatever, but we just cannot field insults and accusations that aren't true. And we just need to be those people that are confident in our faith and confident in the word. Because if not, we're going to take in everything, and it's going to make us spiritually sick, if not physically sick.
Yep. Yeah, and we know you spent the money on the stamps to send out the invitations to the pity party. We all do it. Throw them away.
Yes.
Just throw them away.
Oh, I know. And, you know, you get with other people who kind of have an unforgiving heart, and it just, it's not healthy.
No,
choose
it is
some
not.
New friends. Friends that let you, No, it's like a rehearsal of all the bad things everybody's done to you. And I'm going, this is awful.
So there you go forth today. You tell people, Nancy said, I can't hang out with you anymore. We're not good for each other. So
we're done.
I shut down the party and we'll catch up later. So anyway, Nancy, thanks for this today. This has really been great.
Hey, thank you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.